The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We're stepping into our interview here, and in studio with me, I have Mr. Kieron Isaac, who is an author. And just to briefly tell you about his story as, you know, we go into the interview. Wait, my next song playing in the background. Not yet, not yet. Hold on. Hold on. Getting to his bio here. Growing up, Kieron Isaac was an asthmatic, making him unable to participate in lots of physical activities like his peers. As a result, he enjoyed spending most of his time indoors reading and subsequently fell in love with written poetry. Loop News, well, this is from Loop, so thank you so much, shares the story of how this creative outlet helped the 26-year-old navigate life's difficulties in recent years, as well as fulfill his lifelong dream of publishing a collection of poetry. When the pandemic hit in early 2020, Isaac had recently finished studying pre-med and was in the process of transferring between medical schools to continue his studies. After the pandemic blocked four different transfers for varying reasons, he became despondent. At the same time, his grandfather was diagnosed with and eventually lost the battle against stage 4 prostate cancer. First of all, condolences to you. And you were pre-med?
Yes. So pre-med, yeah. So I know that's a bit of a jump from being an author.
Yeah. And I mean, if I was speaking to Ms. Lisa Allen Agostini yesterday, and yes, unfortunately, the discussion about creatives and in this space, mm-hmm, not being as lucrative as we'd like it to be. Some people would actually say that you're a bit bonkers to leave medicine to do this, you know?
I joke and say I'm a creative based on the month, because based on which month it is, you probably make more out of it.
Yeah.
It's a very unstable, but if you put in a lot of work, you do see the rewards. Mm-hmm. It's just not for everybody.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. I hear you. Speaking with you, you mentioned that, you know, you, like you said, you stepped out of medicine, yeah, to do this.
Yeah.
And it was probably strange for you as well, because this happened during the pandemic, where, yeah, almost anyone who had any kind of medical training would, yeah, have been, you know, wanted at that point in time. Yeah. How you felt during that period?
Yeah, It was very interesting. It was a little bit of a pull between two worlds, because I could see the need for all the doctors, the medical professionals. Mm. But at the same time, I was going through my own, you know, career, yeah, journey with that. So it was a very kind of conflicting period.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also like trying to take care of my granddad who was ill. So it was a lot. It was a lot going on. That I think ultimately I needed like a step back.
Yeah, I think millions needed a good step back from, yeah, after that period of time.
I think that's where the writing came in. Mm-hmm. My mom said, what is something you love outside of all of this? And, you know, it should have been more at the top of my head, but ironically, I guess you really something just need your mom to or say, hey, there are other things that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then I was like, wait, no, I always wanted to write. So she was like, well, now you have the time, even though this is not how we wanted the time.
Yeah.
Like, try to maximize it. And then we went from there, basically.
So the first book I want to touch on, Seeing as Independence, yeah, is Tomorrow, My Culture and Me. It's, yeah, a coloring book, yeah, and on the cover is the Scarlet Ibis.
Yes.
Not something that is to come off the coat of arms. But we will get into that topic in a minute, because you know you had to touch on that, right? But tell me the inspiration for this coloring book and what is in it.
Yeah, so I started off with poetry collections. And if you actually look in the poetry book, there are line drawings behind each poem.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes back to the joke I say, being a creative, it depends on the month. So I think after Christmas is a great month for being a creative. You make a lot, mm-hmm, of sales.
Oh, yeah,
and after Christmas,
yeah,
I was like, what do I do next? So I realized I had all these line drawings, and I said, they would look so good in a coloring book, because why not?
Why not, yeah.
So I had like the Damlerine, the Peregrinade, Fancy Sealer. And I said, just saying things, but I'm going to put this in a coloring book. And it's actually used Canva. I was actually quite proud. So usually I have someone else do my formatting, but this time I did all the formatting myself, because my friend had already done the illustrations from prior.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it together, and I just kind of teased it on my social media, and people really, they were like, wow, this is actually a great idea. And, mm-hmm, I said, you know what, the thing that I actually probably didn't really intentionally think of releasing this, but I said it was like a good afterthought because I already had the images, and I think it's a really great addition. It's a great culture, and I love like seeing the kids actually interface with the culture through the coloring book. You know, people always say sometimes I hear that kids don't appreciate culture, but I always say like it's how we present it to
them. Exactly, and how early you expose them to it.
Yeah, so I got to go to like some preschools and tested it. I gave them like some free samples, and the teacher sent me pictures of the kids coloring it, and that warmed my heart. You know, I was like excited to see that it was being well received.
Because the first class that I thought of was like first year, second year.
Yeah,
you know, to start the as you say, exposure to culture.
Yeah, exactly.
And their own creativity.
Definitely.
Because they may not necessarily color the scarlet iris in these colors, but you know, you let them be and no, it's these colors that you have to use.
Precisely.
And do you think that from this coloring book, probably a storybook could come from this, as in each image develop a story on it?
Definitely, because I actually said some of the images came from poems, but I'm branching off into like more storytelling as well. So that's actually great. I have like some ideas of some stories, even folklore, a lot of mixture of a lot of the different aspects of the culture, but making it more accessible for kids. I think that is the niche I actually really like. So I think it's about creating more content, you know, for that category.
So for kids, you would like to bring the stories to them?
Yeah, because ironically, my poetry collections, I started off writing them for all ages. And what happened is that I mostly got called to primary schools. And I realized, okay, the kids are really into this. So I said, maybe I should just intentionally market it towards the... Because they were the ones who responded the best to it. So now I said, you know what, if the cap fits, I should call myself a children's author.
Well, yeah, because they say, you know, look at your market and see where the need is.
Exactly.
And then touch into that.
Precisely. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about your next book. Is this your newest book, Reindeer Hour?
Yeah, so Reindeer Hour came out last Christmas. And I joked that I wrote that one by mistake.
Okay.
I was in a writing session and we had to write based on a prompt. I definitely recommend people who are into writing. If you need like encouragement, go to a writing session. It could be on Zoom as well. There's a group of you. There's a host who'll give you a prompt to write on. So you have to write on something in your room. And I joked that this was like in March and I didn't take down my Christmas decorations as yet. So there was like, I wrote about a reindeer and everyone in the room said, what are you going to do with this story? And I said, well, I just wrote it based on the requirement of writing a prompt. And they said, no, you should probably publish this. And that's when I realized, I was like, wait, this children's book thing is, I guess I'm so natural that I didn't think about it, like, intentionally going towards that direction. But I think it's important when people see the skills that you have and you kind of take the advice, you know. And I kind of just ran with it. And that's how we released Reindeer Hour, which actually opened more avenues for me than just the poetry books. So I think it was good to kind of step outside of that and just honestly take a chance, you know. A little bit of it's taking a chance as well.
Not to give away too much of the new book, is it based solely on the reindeer? Can you, does it get a name? Because I'm wondering if it's Rudolph come to visit Trinidad kind of scenario.
Well, ironically, you should say that. So the reindeer hour was specifically just you know, traditional Christmas story. But when I wrote it, it set the launching pad for a follow-up, which will come out in 2 months, which is actually about a reindeer experience and a tropical experience.
You see?
And I love it. I think it's really creative, and I'm really excited to release that one. And I always tell my mom, I'm like, you know what, everything I write, I'm like, this one is my best one yet. And she laughs. She's like, yeah, I love your confidence, but I really think that one is probably my most creative yet. So that one should come out soon. So I actually like that you asked that question.
Well, we're gonna look forward to that launch very soon.
For sure.
And another one, My Culture and Me. So I realized from the other book as well, I Am the Tree, you are very much into the icons or the iconic of Trinidad and Tobago culture.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about that book, My Culture and Me.
Yeah, so that is the...
This is the coloring book, right.
Yeah, so
okay.
So it started off as Poetry, which was me firstly launching into publication. Then the poetry turned into I Am the Tree, which was me realizing that, you know, I'm the vessel to carry the stories forward.
Right.
So I was inspired by a tribe costume by Valmiki Maharaj. So big up, Val. And I actually got to send him a copy of the book, which was cool.
You're plugging for a costumer. Because if you are, then yeah, add me too.
Yeah, so that was inspired by that. And I was supposed to release another poetry collection to make it like a trilogy, but that's when I kind of took the deviation and realized maybe I should do the children's Christmas book. Mm-hmm. So I kind of branched off a little bit, which is ironic because I was talking about poetry and branches, and I think I just took like a jump because, I don't know, sometimes in this career you really have to just go with the moment sometimes, and right, that moment was telling me rain the hour. And it was kind of a shock for most people. They were like, whoa, it was like, where did this come from? Because everything else was so cultural. But I was like, don't worry, it'll all be connected.
So do you prefer to write stories or do you prefer to write poetry?
Actually, I think naturally I'm a poet, but I like the two, actually. I like, but people know me for my poetry, but I love the stories as well. So I think I think it is a mix, like a 50-50 equal mix.
And the best story that you've told so far would be what for you?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say that one, I Am the Tree, that collection of poetry. I think I put a lot of work into it, a lot of effort, and I actually I was able to work on it with a lot of stakeholders for the culture, so like Junior Bisnatis, Mukujambi, June Sanka, Damlerine. And I was really proud to like collect their stories and put it into poetry to kind of preserve it. Because with that book, I was more passionate about, I felt like a lot of stories are being lost. So I wanted to put them to pen and paper and kind of like preserve it. Because, you know, I mean, not to sound morbid, but I feel like in the pandemic, a lot of us were faced with like the fragility of life. Like, what happens when we're no longer here?
Yeah.
So I kind of said, like, you know, I could do my part, you know. I mean, I want a long, healthy life, obviously, but, you know, I would like be so pleased to know that, you know, even beyond me, my books could still tell stories and preserve the culture. So,
and to leave a little touch of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'm most proud of that one, actually.
So just thinking back to this lovely story about the coat of arms, because you know I have to ask, as a writer and someone who's very much into the culture, what is your perspective or position on that coat of arms issue?
Ooh, on the spot, boy. Yeah, I think it's definitely, I see the both sides to it. I think a lot of people believe that, you know, it's time to, you know, erase parts that, you know, we may not like. But I think we can't necessarily forget it. But I do understand the significance of the steel pan. So I think, I saw someone made like a mock-up where they merged the two. Maybe they could find some kind of balance.
You mean with the pan as the background and then it just superimposed
I saw somebody try to merge the two. But I think it will take some time because I think there's a lot behind our history. So I think, you know, just removing something, I see the intention of removing it. I mean, but it doesn't remove the history of the aspect, you know.
Yeah, you can't change the past, obviously.
Yeah, you know. I could see the sensitivity from both sides. I think people would probably need to take some time, you know, because it seems like a really sudden thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think people really need some time to flesh it out.
But the thing is, as a writer, I'm sure that a story could come out of that for you.
Right.
You know, probably. You know, we like to joke a lot.
Yeah.
Let Columbus come back and say, but while you're taking my chips off and take four. And then you have the natives, the first people,
I actually saw
respond to that.
I actually saw a meme with Columbus. They tried to rewrite history and he's like coming to Trinidad on a steel pan. I was like, wow, you guys are really creative.
I tell you, I mean, creative to foil with the sometimes the push that we give it or the extent that we go to is bordering on.
I think, like, as my friend's joke, she said sometimes Trinis are just like sitting home waiting.
Yes.
And like as soon as something happens, they're like, right. They have like the template just waiting.
Quick on the draw. That's what you call it. Quick on the draw.
She's like, I'm sure there's like some kind of society where they're just like they're waiting to like just release anything that happens, you know.
So what we're gonna do, we're gonna play one of our songs that bring out, you know, the patriotic side of us here in TNT. And I'm going to ask Mr. Isaac to choose one of his poems from I Am the Tree. And when we come back, we will hear him read.
Nice.
All right. So TNT, one of our favorites. I can't just say my favorite, but I'm going to play it for you. And you're going to send me a message at 306-1065. Tell me if it was a great choice. We'll be right back.
Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
.47 exactly in the nation's capital. And in studio with me is Mr. Caron Isaac, author, illustrator, former medical student.
Oh boy.
I mean, sometimes you do think about it, but you know what I like about that, though? I don't like to say these words, right? Uh-huh. Because I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But if this does not continue to provide the joy that it brings,
I feel it.
You have a very solid base to go back to.
Yeah.
Going to 3061065, which is the message board for us here at Freedom 106.5 FM. Someone is asking already, may I have an email address for that person?
Sure. So you can contact me at poettreeworld@gmail.com. That's poettreeworld@gmail.com or poettreeworld on Facebook, Instagram. That's poettreeworld, or 763 8566, 763-8566.
And the book that you're going to read from now, let's introduce Mr. Isaacs, an excerpt from I Am the Tree on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Yes. So this one is called Trini Family Tree. It's a bit more comical, but I remember this morning coming down, they were asking, you know, what are some things that are uniquely Trini or make you realize someone is Trini? So I think this poem kind of encapsulates what makes us Trini. I related to everybody, and everybody related to me. But that is just what's happened when you is a Trini. Don't ask me how I know them, I just know there's blood. And when me and she bunks up, we give each other a nod. One time in a family reunion, my great aunt say, you see all them pretty girls there? Don't marry none of them, because all of them is family. I laugh, I joke that that would never happen to me. But you never really know when you're related to the whole of San Susi. It's Nene and Tanti and Uncle and Granny. Then Bigfoot and Tin Lip and Hardhead and Kenny. And don't forget Cuz and Dudu Darling and Sugars and Baby. And all of these names stick with them since this 2D. Then don't forget the one that nobody know the name. And you ain't even know the source from where she came. But she could real cook. That peel out has hit the spot. So we could call she Sweet Ann, because it's attached to the pot. Then there's Susie, who now coming with baby number 7. She wasn't just pregnant, boy, hush him out before you end up in heaven. Mm-mm. Then there's Sean, who everybody's called Carman, even though it's not working, but that's his name all over the land. Then there's Jenny from America, who pick up an accent. But Jenny, I thought you just went. But Jenny know every bacchanal in Trini News, and her boyfriend named Hank she meet on a cruise. The Trini family tree is truly one for the books. It's something like a bougainvillea is how it looks. The Trini family tree, I wouldn't trade for a thing. This sweet bacchanal land does just make my heart sing. And that was Trini Family Tree from I Am the Tree.
The connection to the bougainvillea. Oh my God. It is. Because when you look at a bougainvillea, twisted and, you know, complicated.
All over the place.
And in beautiful colors as well.
Definitely.
So I see that we have some callers calling in. So let's take some calls if you have any questions. And of course, when you call in, let me know what independence means to you. Hello. Good morning.
Very blessing to you and your host, Tosca.
Good morning.
Independence means a lot of independence. We don't depend on no English people for nothing. We are liberated. Oscar, the guy with the poem, I like that poem. You know, it makes me laugh a little bit. But I wanted to do a poem with the coat of arms. And with one side must have bust up shot, the next side must have fried. So listen, one side must have bust up shot, the other side must have fried baked. And if you have place, put some pilau in it.
Thanks.
Yes.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Wait. I needed a laugh this morning. Thank you very much. He said bust up shot on one side.
I love it.
And pilau in the center. What was
and
it?
And fry bake.
Fry bake on the next side. You can make all those things.
Yeah, and I'll put some tomato choker too if I could afford it.
Boy. And doubles too.
Yeah.
That's sure doubles. I'm surprised he did not say doubles to add into the coat of arms. But anyway. And from those experiences that you've had writing these books, what would be the best advice you would give to any young writer or poet listening right now?
Oh, definitely. I would say, actually, the advice I got from someone, I think sometimes we overthink it, right? So we're like, what to write? I have these ideas. And someone told me, you know what they said? They said, just write. They say, whatever you have, just write it. Don't worry too much about, you know, it being perfect at first.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have a thought, put a pen and paper, just, you know, clear it out of your system. And worry about the perfecting it a little later on. But I think the funny thing is, I think naturally as Trinis, we're storytellers.
Yes, we are.
If you look on like Facebook, you scroll down Facebook, like I love to go on Facebook. I just be like, as you tell my friends, like, yo, you could write a book. Like, mm-hmm. They're just comical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about like actually translating it to pen and paper and just publishing it.
Yeah, the
know?
Way that we speak.
Yeah, we're naturally storytellers.
I think in a survey some time ago, our accent and the way that we speak came up in real high. It wasn't number one, but it was real high because they say that we talk in a story kind of format. That just make it interesting,
though. Yeah. Yeah, so it's something that's so natural. It's innate to us. I think we don't realize how much of a natural-born storyteller a lot of us are.
And it all stems from our culture.
Yeah, definitely.
And being able to express all sides of our culture.
Yes,
you know,
true.
Be it from the African side, the Indian side, Asian, whatever nationality we have here, First Peoples.
Yes, that
you
is
know,
true.
Even the ones who come from abroad and end up being quote unquote, what's the word, inaugurated, what's the word I'm looking for, boy? It will come. Oh, call a poet. Come with. Oh, come. Help me out with the word smithing now. Or initiated. Initiated Trinis that have been here for a while. You know, it's something that just we just exude. It's an aura.
Yeah,
you know.
So true.
I have a quick question again for you. The one piece of advice that you would tell your younger self today.
Ooh, that's great. I would say don't be so hard on yourself, because I joke that I'm such a perfectionist. So I was looking back recently at a book I had. Actually, I'd like mapped out like a timeline. I was like, okay, graduate medical school by this age, become an ophthalmologist by this age. And I was laughing at the years are like long gone. And I kind of laughed at it, and I realized that I kind of just need to like give myself more grace, which is something I'm like learning to do.
I like that.
And I think a lot of people need to do that as well. Just kind of give yourself more grace, embrace life as it comes along, open yourself to more opportunities. Mm-hmm. I sure can say that being a writer has launched a lot of things I didn't expect. Like people called me asking me to tutor, learn how to write. Mm-hmm. And at first I told them, I said no. And then they said, hey, we'll pay you. And I said, you know what? I'm a tutor.
So,
so I just try to like embrace opportunities as they come and don't say no so much. And don't tell myself no before I get the opportunity. Because sometimes we talk ourselves out of things.
Out of things, correct.
So just like give yourself some love and, you know, embrace the blessings.
And I'm wondering from your perspective, do you think that the encouragement in the poetry world and spoken word world could be a little louder?
Yeah, definitely.
A little more involved.
Yeah.
I think it's now catching on.
Yeah.
You know, there was a big corporate sponsor that had a competition the other day. Can't call the name, but you know what I mean? And I give kudos to them, because it's, as you say, unfortunately, the idea is that the creatives and them not, you know, the income and the space ain't so stable and not so profitable.
Yeah, not so lucrative.
But they're beginning to see that.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of spaces more opening up to like having like, I see malls having like open spoken word events, malls inviting like children's authors to read. And I love that. I just think we need to like continue that momentum and support. And I would say, like, even if you don't read, I'm sure you know someone who does, so like you could just recommend them to any genre book you're interested in. I guarantee there's a Trini author who has written something like romance, love, books on mental health. So we have a lot of Trini authors. It's just about like them getting the platform and people just realizing that, hey, like, we have talent.
And don't make fun of the spaces where, you know, with the light bulbs stringed on the trees and the cushions and people reading books and snapping fingers. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. That's welcome. We love it.
Yeah, it brings a sense of peace as well.
Definitely.
Well, Mr. Isaac, I enjoyed this interview. Thank you so much for coming to Freedom 106.5 FM and spreading the love and spreading the word.
Yes.
And as soon as your follow-up to your reindeer hour. You know, we are the first people.
Yeah, of course,
you come
of course.
To,
right?
So enjoy the rest of your day. Any last comments or shout outs you want to give before you go? And of course, remember to give out your social handles.
Just want to send everybody much love, you know. Have a blessed day, be safe, rep the culture, support the culture. And if you're looking for great places that you could buy the Caribbean authors and stuff like that, there are a lot of great bookstores. Some of my books are available at Paper Based Bookshop. That's a great place you could start. So just rep the culture, support it, and wishing everyone a happy independence.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.